but also Nathan Bedford Forrest, whose cavalry had been raising hell in middle and western Tennessee for the past several months. Truth be told, Sherman was glad that Hood had launched an invasion of Tennessee. That would keep Hood busy while Sherman continued on to his real objective, the long-planned march across Georgia to the sea, with the port city of Savannah squarely in his sights. The time had come for a new sort of campaign, a campaign that would, according to Sherman, teach the Southerners to rue forever their folly in provoking a war. Sherman would cut a swath of utter destruction across the heart of the Confederacy, and in the process, ensure Abraham Lincoln's re-election as president. The capture of Atlanta already had improved Lincoln's chances for victory over General George B. McClellan, the Democratic candidate and former commander of the Army of the Potomac. Little Mac was still highly regarded by those men who had served under him, but more than soldiers would vote in this election. Sherman set off in the middle of November to teach the rebels his bloody lesson. To the northwest, in Tuscumbia, Alabama, Hood was getting ready to move as well, aiming to march through Tennessee to Nashville. He was waiting to be joined by 3,500 hard-riding, hard-fighting horsemen, led by the hardest-riding, hardest-fighting of them all, Forrest. The rain pounded at Henry's back as he rode along a narrow, twisting, mud-choked trail. Although he suspected it was only mid-afternoon, the overcast was so thick that a darkness, almost as impenetrable as night, had begun to settle over the soggy landscape already. It had been raining for days now, long enough for Henry to start wondering if he would ever see the sun again. And since he avoided settlements and even farms for fear of running into Yankees, he wondered as well if he would ever again be warm and dry. He had been angling southwest for several weeks, ever since leaving the farm near Culpeper, paralleling the Blue Ridge, finally crossing it down in the corner of North Carolina, tracking over into Tennessee. The last rumor he'd heard was that General Hood was somewhere in the southern part of the state, either that or just across the border in northern Alabama. Henry had found a newspaper in an abandoned farmhouse with an article about a speech President Davis had made, telling how General Hood was going to capture Nashville. The paper had been dated only a few weeks earlier, so the farm hadn't been deserted for long. Henry had stayed there for a couple of days, resting his pair of horses and wondering how things were going at home. He hoped the women were all right. As far as he could tell, the Yankees hadn't come after him to punish him for McCafferty's death. Maybe Cordelia had sent them in the wrong direction. She was smart as a whip. It might have occurred to her to do something like that. Henry considered waiting out the rest of the war on the abandoned farm, but in the end he decided not to risk it. For one thing, he would probably starve to death. For another, there were strong federal forces in both Nashville and Knoxville. Patrols probably went out from both towns on a regular basis. He decided to swing south of both those settlements and continue on westward, knowing that the odds were he would find General Hood's army sooner or later. Then the skies had opened up and the rains came, and Henry was able to travel only a few miles each day over the muddy roads. Besides slowing him down, the mud also muffled the sound of hoofbeats, which was a mixed blessing, Henry decided, as several riders suddenly loomed up out of the gloom in front of him. He hadn't heard them coming at all. He stiffened in the saddle and reached under his coat for the pistol that had belonged to the dead Yankee sergeant. He doubted that it would fire. The damp likely had gotten to the powder, but he wasn't going to be captured without at least attempting to put up a fight.
"Hold it there, boy," a man shouted over the noise of the rain. "Who be you?"
The accent was undoubtedly southern. Henry heaved a sigh of relief. These riders weren't Yankees after all.
"I'm a friend," he said as he reined in his mount to a halt. "I'm looking for General Hood's army."
"Not a spy, are you?"
Henry felt a flash of annoyance. Back home in Virginia, he had been accused of spying. Now, here in Tennessee, his own countrymen distrusted him.
"No, damn it, I'm not a spy."
He faintly heard a chuckle.
"Feisty one, ain't you? You a soldier? Got separated from your company?"
"No, that's why I'm looking for General Hood. I want to join up with him and fight the Yankees."
"Well, that can probably be arranged. Come along with us if you have a mind to."
Henry moved his horse forward. You men are with General Hood?
We're with General Forrest, and he's with General Hood. Reckon that makes us all part of the same bunch.
You mean Bedford Forrest?
The family hadn't gotten many letters from Corey over the past few years, but the ones they had received had mentioned the Confederate cavalry leader with great admiration. Corey had ridden with Forrest during several campaigns.
There ain't any other Forrest to speak of,
the spokesman for the group of cavalry troopers replied.
Are you coming or not?
Yeah, I'm coming. Are you on your way to join Forrest now?
That's right. We're on our way back from a scout along Shoal Creek. Had a little skirmish with the Yankees there a couple days ago.
A note of pride entered the man's voice.
We sent him running. That'll teach him to stand twixt us and home. Most of us are Tennessee boys, and we're ready to send all them damn Yankees back where they come from.
For the first time in days, a smile touched Henry's haggard, unshaven face.
Up in Virginia, we feel pretty much the same way.
As he turned his horses to fall in with the Confederate horsemen, he realized he'd gotten mixed up at the last crossroads he'd come to. He'd been riding northwest instead of southeast. In the pouring rain, it was hard to know which direction was which. But if he had kept going that way, Henry thought, sooner or later, he would have ridden right into the middle of the Yankee army. This chance encounter with the Confederate patrol had been a lucky one indeed. Full night had fallen by the time Henry and his companions reached the place where Hood's army was camped. The rain had stopped by then, but a raw, chilly wind was still blowing. The leader of the patrol, who had introduced himself to Henry as Ernie Merle, explained that this was really just part of the army. Three columns were on the move northward into Tennessee, their ultimate destination being Nashville. This was the right column, led by General Alexander Stewart. The middle column was commanded by General Stephen D. Lee, while the left, westernmost column, was under the command of General Benjamin Franklin Cheatham. Fine officers, all three of them, according to Merle. General Forrest was in overall command of the cavalry, accompanying all three columns. His command was attached to Stewart's column and was charged with screening the advance on the right flank. Merle led Henry toward a tent where a man sat by a small fire. He was perched on a stump and smoking a pipe. He didn't stand up as Merle approached, but if he had, Henry suspected he would be tall and lean. He had that look about him. Dark hair swept back behind his ears and topped a high forehead. A beard jutted fiercely from his chin. His hollow-cheeked face was dominated by a pair of deep-set, piercing dark eyes. Just from the air of intensity and command that seemed to surround the man, Henry assumed he was looking at Forrest.
No sign of the Yanks along Shoal Creek, General, Merle reported.
Good.
Forrest didn't waste words.
He looked at Henry and went on. Who's this?
Fellow we ran into on the trail. Says he's been looking for General Hood and aims to join up to fight Yankees.
Merle paused for a second, then added meaningfully,
He's got a couple of pretty fair mounts with him, General.
Is that so? Are you interested in joining us?
Forrest inquired.
If you are looking for action, there should be plenty to suit you.
Henry hadn't given much thought to joining the cavalry, but as he looked at Forrest in the firelight, he knew he would prefer to do his fighting on horseback rather than slogging through the mud with the infantry. He nodded.
Well, that would suit me just fine, General. Have you got a name?
Yes, sir. It's Brannan. Henry Brannan.
Forrest looked like the sort of man who was seldom surprised, but at the mention of Henry's name, his eyes sparked with interest.
I knew a young fella named Brannan. Rode with me on several occasions.
Yes, sir, that was my brother, Corey. He didn't write many letters, but they spoke of you often in the ones he did.
Forrest stood up and extended a hand.
I'm glad to meet you, Henry. That brother of yours was a good man to have round.
Henry shook hands with the general and ventured a question.
Do you happen to know where Corey is now, sir?
He halfway dreaded the answer. Given Corey's reckless nature, he might have fallen in battle. Hell, Henry thought, in this war, even the men who were careful died in droves sometimes. Forrest shook his head.
I'm afraid I don't.